Well, God's mercy, His grace, and His peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts will be good and pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen, amen. Well, I'm excited about today's message. You guys have heard me talk about this Bible verse for the last 5 years that I've been here, and I've always wanted to do a sermon on it. I never have, and as Pastor Mike and I were talking about our sermons, and you know, he's doing Genesis, he wants us to do something different. As I was thinking about the end of the year, I thought this is a perfect time to do this sermon. I've been wanting to do a sermon on this topic for a long time, especially the last like year or so, I was like, you know what? This is the time I'm going to do it. And so I'm excited to share this with you guys here as we end off our year and get ready to begin the new year. I want to share God's blessings with you. You guys have heard me say it. And whenever I give the benediction at the end of the service from Numbers chapter 6, I always say it's my favorite part of the service. Not because you guys don't have to listen to me anymore, which I'm sure you're always very thankful for, but rather because it's God's last word. I love it because God sends you and me and His people out into a world where there's difficulties, and He does so with giving us the last word. Maybe you grew up in a house where you had a family member or a teacher or someone in your life who always had to have the last word, right? You know, and you'd say something and they'd be like, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get the last word. You're not going to get it. And so you had that family member struggle with getting the last word. Well, at the end of our service, God gets the last word. You know, the sermon is in the middle. That's where I talk about God's word, but I'm doing a lot of talking about my own stuff and sharing and interpreting and all that kind of stuff. But the benediction is when God gets the last word. First of all, the word benediction is Latin from the word benedictus, which means good words or good speaking, good speech. And so that's what the word benediction means. The last thing you hear in a worship service is God's good words to you. And I love it. I love it. So we're going to talk about that today. And so let's go ahead and start by reading Numbers chapter 6 together, as is on the screen here. Let's go ahead and read together. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. So today we're going to go look at each one of those little sections, each one of those snippets, and we're going to talk about it. In your sermon notes, you can write notes if anything comes to mind. But the first thing I'm going to tell you, or the first part I'm going to share, is something that's not actually up there, which is the words may. May. One day I was giving the benediction here at our church at the end of a service, and my dad was sitting in the church service, and in the way that only fathers can do, my dad called me out on something. You know how dads do that, you know? And I said at the end of the benediction, I said, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face, shine upon you. May the Lord blah, 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 and give you his peace. And my dad says, afterwards. He says, I said, what? He said, you said may. I said, okay, what does that mean? He says, may implies that he may or may not do this. This isn't God saying, we're not saying, hey, I hope God blesses you and keeps you and gives you these things. This is a declaration. God does do this. And so the first thing I want to point out is there's no may there. This isn't God might do these things for you. He may give you these things. He may bless you. No, this is a declaration. Every time it's said at the end of the service, we are declaring that God is doing this for you. So that's the first thing I want to share with you. The second, the next point, and the first line in the verse is the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. You know, we're so blessed in our world, we take it for granted, aren't we? You know, I once had a missionary come to my church and ask this question. I'll ask you this question. How many of you guys own more than one pair of shoes? Raise your hand. If you own more than one pair of shoes, raise your hand. Okay. I think some of you own more than one pair of shoes and you're not raising your hand. That's okay. If you own more than one pair of shoes, you are more wealthy than 75% of the world. Most of the world doesn't own more than one pair of shoes. It blew me away when he said that. and the mission work and the mission field that we do out there is to folks who are going through those things. And we just take that for granted. We think, oh, I need to have 17 pairs of shoes, you know, but yet, you know, I'm so blessed. I'm so, you know, we are so blessed in so many ways. We're also blessed with health that our forefathers could never have dreamed of. Just think about this. As bad as our medical system is, maybe you complain about that a lot, my doctor's response when I have a common cold isn't to amputate my leg, put leeches on me, or perform an exorcism, right? I mean, that's kind of good, you know, because that's what, when you sneeze, the whole, the Lord bless you, God bless you. Why are we saying that? Because we think that, because back in the day, they thought that when you were sneezing, you were exorcising demons. So we're like, God bless you, because you're exorcising the demon. You know, so my doctor doesn't exorcise demons, put leeches on me, or amputate my leg when I'm sick. Hey, praise God for that. My forefathers would have loved that. And when you think of Mary and Joseph this Christmas season, traveling to Bethlehem. It wasn't a super long travel or super long journey, but when you think of them traveling to Bethlehem for that census, think about the distances that they traveled, distances that took days, weeks, or even months to travel. You and I can travel in hours. And not just travel in hours, but we can travel in hours in luxury and comfort without fear of being robbed by bandits or robbers. We truly are blessed. Let's see what Jesus says about blessing in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, in the Beatitudes. He says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now notice what's missing in there. It doesn't say, blessed are you when you're wealthy, blessed are you when you have a private jet or a boat, blessed are you when everything's going right in your life, blessed are you when all things are right with the world and you get your Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, blessed are you when you're poor in spirit, blessed are you when you're mourning, blessed are when you're meek, blessed are when you're hungering and thirsting, blessed are you when you're struggling. Why does Jesus say that? He doesn't say we're blessed when everything's going well in our lives. Instead, he says that we're blessed when we are seeking God, when we are finding our strength, finding our sustenance, finding our blessings in our relationship with God and living in his strength. So the first thing we are is we're blessed. We're very blessed by the Lord. The second line says this, so the Lord bless you, and okay, he's saying we're blessed when we're struggling and going through difficult times. Well, what does that mean? Well, the second line kind of gives us a little answer, and keep you. The phrase to keep you is God's promise to protect you. It's a promise of protection that he's going to watch over you and keep you safe. Psalm 121 verse 3 says this, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. What that's saying is the Lord is always on guard. The Lord is always watching over you. The Lord never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never closes his eyes and rests and something bad happens to you in the middle of the night. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that was going to happen to you. You know, nothing like that happens. The Lord is always watching over us and taking care of us. This is a quote that Satan twisted when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. Maybe you remember that story. And Satan, you know, does different things to tempt Jesus with bread and other things. And one of the things that he does to tempt Jesus, he takes Jesus up on the roof of the temple. Imagine being up on some skyscraper in New York City, looking down, and Satan takes him to the roof of the temple. And he says, okay, Jesus, so you are the key. You're the linchpin to God's plan of salvation. So obviously that means you're kind of important, right? You know, I'm kind of a big deal, Jesus, you know? And so he's like, you're kind of important here. So why don't you, Jesus, just jump off? Right? Just jump off. Because after all, if you're so important to God's plan, he's not going to let you die, right? You know, he's going to take care of you. In fact, Satan even quotes scripture. He quotes Psalm 121. He says, after all, the Bible says he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber, right, Jesus? And he's testing Jesus. He says, go ahead and jump. Don't you trust that God's going to take care of you? After all, if God loves you so much, you're not going to get hurt. And when you and I go through difficult times, when we have a difficult diagnosis with the doctor, when we have pain or struggles that won't go away, when we lose a loved one and we're grieving and we're suffering or we're having job issues or financial struggles, it's easy for us to wonder that too, isn't it? It's easy for us to hear that voice of Satan in our own minds and say, does God really love me? Does God really care? Does he really see or care what happens to me in my life when I'm struggling, when I'm going through this difficult time? It's not unusual for us to feel that way. And so that's where this promise that the Lord bless you and keep you, that he watches over you and takes care of you in the midst of your trials, is so important. Because the next line actually answers a little bit of that question, when where is God when I'm struggling? Because as a matter of fact, he's here. It says this, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. What does that mean? Psalm 4 verse 6 says, light up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Have you ever struggled with a relationship with someone? Maybe you had a teacher that you thought was always mad at you. Maybe you and your boss had a fight. Maybe you had a coworker or something. Maybe your spouse or your parents, or you watch the movie Home Alone, and what does the old man who lives next door who saves the day say? He says, "Well, I haven't talked to my son in several years because we had a fight over Christmas dinner 20 years ago, and he hasn't been back. I told him I didn't want to see him again, and he told me he didn't want to see me again, and we haven't seen each other in 20 years." I see that a lot in hospice. I see a lot of families where family members will have a grandchild that they've never met because of some fight that happened years ago. Maybe there's something going on in your life. Maybe you've had that experience where you worry about anger. You worry about someone giving you the cold shoulder. You go to work and you're worried. You're kind of hiding from that coworker, that boss. Maybe you're walking around the house and you're hiding from your spouse or your parents because you're worried about the anger that they're going to have from what you said the day before. And maybe some time goes on and you see that person, and instead of anger, instead of a scowl, instead of